You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, time to try this Louisville preview thing again, and hopefully the game actually happens this time. This is the second time we've talked about
Louisville. Knock on wood.
And they haven't played a game since we talked about them. So really, we're just updating what has happened in their net ranking, KenPom, all that. And also, there's some news about who's going to be out there for them. They are down two players. But anyway, it is Tim Leonard, Tyler Rocky on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. You can catch us every single weekday. We're going to get into this Louisville matchup. We'll do the prop shop and pick the game at the end of this episode, as we always do. It's interesting. I guess the difference is also this game is in the Yum Center, and it's at Louisville this time around.
Oh, God, Tim. This is going to be an eyesore to watch. Have you watched games at the Yum Center this year?
Oh, it's tough. The camera angles, you mean?
I mean, they give you football all 22 cam. I mean, you're recording that thing on the ceiling, essentially.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
It's a rough, yeah, it's like you get altitude sickness watching it. That's how bad it is.
Right. So Louisville is coming off a little pause here, and it's their second pause of the year. I think it's noteworthy because the first time they came off a pause, they got just blitzed by Wisconsin, and they lost 85-48 on the road at a good Wisconsin team. The other thing noteworthy about that game, they did not have Carlique Jones in that game. We pretty much can assume, I think, that Carlique Jones will not be one of the two players that is down from Louisville at this point because he was talked about by Dino Gaudio, the assistant coach. They will have Chris Mack back on the sideline, but Dino Gaudio did a Monday Zoom ACC media press conference, announced that two guys will be down. It is not Carlique Jones. I don't think it's David Johnson either because he was brought up by Dino Gaudio. That's basically their two best players. And then Samuel Williamson, who I'm really worried about, and we talked about on the last preview podcast, he scares me a lot based on what he can do against the zone. He spoke to the media on a Zoom call yesterday. So I also think we can assume he's in
the game.
That's
three safe bets. Yeah. Good social sleuthing by you. I guess it's not social sleuthing, but excellent detective work there, Tim.
I tried my best.
Yeah, you put your double hat on, your Sherlock hat, you got your magnifying glass out, and I think you made three very good guesses there.
Right, but, I mean, outside of that, it's all up in the air, and there's some other good players that maybe could be sitting out. We don't have to speculate, because who knows, we'll probably find out an hour before the game, and I don't think Louisville is going to disclose it any earlier than that because they don't want Syracuse to know and be able to match up.
You'll see the tweet that comes out. It's like, player X and Y are not warming up right now.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's going to be the indication. So yeah, you'll get it like 90, 60 minutes before, something like that.
Also, I did some more research. I was trying to be Sherlock Holmes, I guess, for this. Malik Williams is the guy that they've been without, who torched Cuse last year, is a very good center for them. He has been out for maybe 12, 13 weeks. I don't think he will be back for this game either because a report came out, I actually think it was from the same Dino Gaudio ACC media press conference, where he said something like he has started going back to non-contact drills, but he started practicing where he's catching the ball, where no defenders are around him and doing some layups and stuff like that. But it's not as if he is practicing all out and doing scrimmages. And they basically said in the press conference, Dino Gaudio said that he wants to get him in more practices. And I think the coaching staff wants him in more practices before he returns. So
this might be the perfect game for him to come back then. I mean, Syracuse, they walk out on the floor and it's a no contact drill.
or it's just the fact that Syracuse, I mean, we would have guessed Champagne wouldn't have been back this year. So I always hesitate to say stuff like this because it can surprise you in college athletics when these guys return. But I'm just presenting the facts, which is that Dino Gaudio said that he needs more practice time. And unless he magically got better since that Monday Zoom, I find it hard to believe he'll be out there, which would be good news for Syracuse.
Absolutely. And again, we don't know who the two guys are that are out. It's really tough to infer who it is. It's better to infer who it is not based on the evidence that you have provided us. But if it is to be one of the big guys, that could really change this game. If it is a Jalen Withers, if it's a Quinn Slezinski or something along those lines, that will help this Syracuse team out because this Louisville team is not very big. I mean, you look across top to bottom and really the guys that play significant minutes, you're looking at guys who are pretty much 6'8 and smaller. So if Syracuse can catch a break there, and there, it seems like they're going to catch some sort of break in terms of the personnel that the Cardinals are going to be throwing out there, but if they're down a big man, that would be huge. And the fact that we've already ruled out three guys who are guard or guard types,
sure,
that is going to be a, that's going to be something that hopefully can help out Syracuse. You're just praying it's not some sort of walk-on or something.
Yeah, although Samuel Williamson, he rebounds like he's bigger than 6'7".
Right, yeah, he kind of has that Alan Griffin-ish to him.
Exactly. Champagne, too, which I know is not a great name to bring up when we're previewing. But I think I did say it was a poor man's Justin Champagne last time we did this podcast, or at least it feels like that sometimes when you watch him. So he's going to be a key to stop him for sure. Louisville is now up to 30th on KenPom. They actually rose 9 spots just by sitting there and being in a COVID pause here. They also rose
the old 11th. Ohio State football move there.
I know. Well done. Yeah. It's I guess kind of like there is something that should be said about that, maybe. The fact that they were sort of hovering around the bubble and now they're 31 on the net, which is up 11 spots from their COVID pause, and 30th on KenPom. You look at them now and it's like, oh yeah, they'll make the tournament for sure.
But yeah. It's because they didn't get blown out. They've gone 2 weeks now without getting blown out. And we know how much that can swing the net and KenPom rankings and all that stuff.
Yeah, and they actually, I think, only have one quad one win. I think it shuffles a little bit, but they really don't have a ton of quality wins. They won over Virginia Tech. They won over Seton Hall, Western Kentucky in the non-con. And then their last game was February 1st, a win over Georgia Tech. So how much of them not playing since February 1st do you think is going to play a factor in this game?
So you brought up, we've seen it already with them one time, and obviously they got boat raced. But history kind of shows you, and the recent samples that we've seen, is that defensive-minded teams look pretty good out of pause. Not good, but they win games out of pauses. They don't have these lulls. It's the teams that rely on shooting that sometimes can look a little shoddy out of the gate. But I look at Florida State. They're two games removed from a pause, and they went out and have maybe the most impressive win in the ACC with that crushing of Virginia on Big Monday the other day. I look at a team like Michigan, defensive-minded team. What did they do? They came out and they crushed Wisconsin in the second half. Those are the teams that are not struggling out of the gate. Louisville, a much more defensive-minded team than an offensive-minded team. They don't rely on the three ball as much. They're not a good three-point shooting team. They're outside the top 250 in the country. Meanwhile, they're a top 30 defense on KenPom. So I lean on the side that Louisville is not going to have the same sort of struggles coming out of the break as they did last time, especially since they're going to have Carlique Jones, and they just kind of have that fit to them right now where this is, like we said, this was going to be a good spot for Syracuse a couple weeks ago. That was because of the quick turnaround. This, you could argue, still is sort of a good spot because traditionally you're not great off pauses, but the defensive-minded teams are.
Yeah, the other thing is they've been practicing for 5 or 6 days. So
right,
really,
yeah.
it's kind of like they just had a game and then they've had a little, like a week of practice for six, which sometimes is good. Sometimes teams play better off of not having a game for 5 or 6 days. So, and I do think the fact that it's their second pause, you may have learned a couple things if you're Chris Mack and you're Louisville from the first go around. So I'm kind of with you. I don't think it'll play too much of a factor. Now, if they're down Withers or if they're down a player that we haven't mentioned that could be a starter or a vital guy like Davis, maybe, that probably changes things a lot, and we just don't really know what their players are down right now. But we'll get into picking the game in a little bit. First, I want to remind you guys about our favorite protein bar out there. It is, of course, Built Bar. They've been with us for a while now, and I keep going back to them, keep re-upping on my boxes. They are so good. I'm actually due for a new box because my dad ate all of them the other day. He finished off my box without me knowing, so now I've got to re-up. But they have 18 amazing flavors to choose from. They come in nut and non-nut flavors. And the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're covered in 100% chocolate, yet they're great for the health-conscious guy. So I don't know if there's a better sales pitch than that. So go to BuiltBar.com today. You can only buy them online if you go to BuiltBar.com. You can use our promo code LOCKEDON. That gets you 20% off your next order. Again, that promo code is all one word, Locked On, for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. I wanted to bring up some stats here on Buddy Boeheim, just because I know last time we did this podcast, maybe it was two podcasts ago, I was talking about how Joe Girard has not scored in double figures against really a good team this year outside of Clemson when he put up 19 all in the second half. And I sort of, KenPom does this great thing where they track how are you against tier A competition and tier A plus B competition. And I went in and compared Joe Girard, Kadari, and Buddy's numbers. And actually, Joe Girard's offensive rating really doesn't dip a ton against tier A and tier A plus B competition. He's a 97 offensive rating. He's 96 against A plus B and 86 against tier A, which again, 100 is about an average offensive rating on the season. And you'd expect it to dip a little bit against good teams. That's worth noting. But right. Actually, the guy that really dipped so far this year against tier A competition and tier A plus B competition, which is Louisville is tier A competition according to KenPom, because it's a road game against a team that is top 30 on KenPom, I think is how they break it down. And Buddy, his offensive rating on the year as a whole is a 99. In three games against tier A competition, his offensive rating dips to a 67 overall. And then against tier A plus B, he's a 77 offensive rating. So he's really the guy that's been exposed the most statistically when they played up in competition.
And we've even brought stuff like that up in the past, too, with Buddy Boeheim. Because, I mean, we've always talked about, can he be the best player on a tournament team? And we talked about all the time, we want to see that Buddy Alpha game against a good team, and we just still have not seen it. And those numbers back that up. There are times where you expect him to be great, and sometimes he has it for a half. Like UNC, he was great for a half, and I don't know how the tiers work necessarily.
That was a tier A game. So that's a tier A game.
Okay,
good one.
Perfect. Yeah. But he was good for a half. Second half, he was the Buddy Boeheim that we have seen, unfortunately, in more games than not offensively. And it's one of those things where if he is going to take that next step in his development, if he is going to be that leader, because listen, who knows what's going to happen with Quincy? Who knows what's going to happen with Allen moving forward in terms of whether or not they're a part of this program? But Buddy's a guy that we can depend on to be here for probably two or three more years. And if he is not getting to that next gear that we're expecting, that's when the career starts to feel a little underwhelming, because the way that he was taking a step from his freshman year to the sophomore year, you expected a similar step to be made this season. And it just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. And also in his sophomore year, which, so now it's a pretty big sample size here. I mean, he's been with the team 3 years, but you look at his sophomore year numbers, his offensive rating average his sophomore year was 107, a little bit better than his 99 this year. He's dipped off in that department as a junior, but against tier A plus B last year, he was, instead of a 107 on average, an 88 on offensive rating. And then tier A, he was a 90 offensive rating. So he dips once he plays against good teams, which every player does. I looked at a lot of the other Syracuse guys. Marek is really the only one that just, which is kind of fitting, that he just consistently brings
it. I love that. Like, I love that's the guy.
Right, and Quincy dips, but it's still like he dips from a really good offensive rating to an above average offensive rating, so you can't really knock him as much. Griffin has dipped a little, and then Kadari has dipped. I'll shout out his numbers real quick and just bring him up. He, right now, against tier A competition so far, Kadari is a 77 offensive rating. That's just four games, but his overall offensive rating on the year is 105. So when he's played against some good teams, which for those that are wondering, the tier A game so far in Syracuse's schedule, Clemson at UVA, at UNC, and at Clemson was also on the road, and then the at Rutgers game. So Buddy has played three tier A games. He scored 8 against Clemson, 9 against UVA, and then did have that 18 against UNC. But second half, like you said, he got shut down by Leaky Black in that game.
Right, so that's one of the things that you're looking for. This is another one of those tier A instances. What's going to happen, especially against a defensive-oriented team? Listen, there's nothing wrong with being a Robin, okay? I feel like the stigma that falls around being the second guy on a team is something that, like, Jordan needs his Pippen, all right? LeBron needs his Kyrie. Like, LeBron needs his AD. Everyone needs a sidekick, all right? It's not easy to do this alone. But Buddy, last year, I thought he did a solid job, especially at the end of the year, of being that second option. But sometimes Elijah's out, and you need that first option, and it needs to be Buddy. And it felt like Joe kind of took the reins more of that first option. And I just want to see Buddy kind of step up and try to be that guy. It feels like even in that UNC game, he gets cooking in the final, what, 2-3 minutes of that first half that really explodes. Like, he was having a good half, but the final 2-3 minutes are what elevated it to a great half. And I just need to see that consistency. And it's not just him. It's all the guards that need that consistency.
Yeah, for sure. It's just Joe's numbers. I thought, if I were to guess going into it blindly, I thought Joe's numbers would have been right around Buddy's and been a considerable dip off too. He really didn't drop off a ton last year, offensive rating wise, against good teams. And so far this year, he has dropped off, but about a normal amount compared to how much you're supposed to drop off when competition ratchets up. And right. It's worth noting too, because Syracuse currently has 5 games left on its schedule. They're all against Tier A and Tier B teams. They have 3 Tier A games left, according to KenPom, and 2 Tier B teams, which are Notre Dame and then UNC at home, which honestly is going to be a tough game as well. I think we know that UNC is down, but it's still UNC.
It's always the bad matchup. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
A couple quick numbers I want to bring up before we get into DeBundo's digits. So Syracuse is going to be the fastest paced team that Louisville has faced this year. Orange 31st in pace. I think I brought this up in the last time we did this, but it's worth reiterating, and I know we have a new audience now. Shout out to the Kadeem Allen fan club. They tweeted at us, and they love our show. So shout out to Kadeem Allen. He was drafted by the Celtics, wasn't he? Your team? So
I honestly don't know, but shout out to his fan club and Kadeem Allen, and thanks for listening.
Kadeem Allen, honorary Syracuse Orange. But so Syracuse is going to be the fastest team that they have faced by far. And coming off a pause, if you're playing with pace, that's something. If you're getting up and running and maybe this team isn't quite back in game shape, that can help Syracuse sort of offset some of the things that we've seen out of Louisville that makes Louisville really good. So I think if the Orange can move with pace, disrupt the Cardinals a little bit, that'll work in their favor. The other thing, so Louisville has 4 losses so far this season. 3 have come against teams outside the top 120 in rebounding. You don't have to be a great rebounding team to beat Louisville. You just have to make your shots. And that's something that I think Goody tweeted out a great thing from 5 Factors, that Syracuse is one of those teams that has good shooters but bad shot selection. If they get the right shots, and who knows what the defense is going to look like coming out of the pause, but if they get the right shots and they can get good shots against Louisville, that will help this team out as well. Yeah. And I think playing with pace is going to open up good shot selection for this team.
And David Johnson is going to be on Buddy, one of the best defenders in the ACC. And he's getting talked about as a top 10 pick strictly because he has a lot of length, which Buddy usually gets to his spot and scores over top of people. So
he's not going to be able to do that as much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Johnson also one of the few guys on this Louisville team that can shoot a 3. Too. He's 42%, right. No one else above 31. So,
yeah. Okay, well, let's dive into DeBundo's digits here. There's a great stat right off the top from our guy Anthony DeBundo on how much a win here would change Syracuse's chances of making the NCAA tournament. So here it is, Anthony DeBundo from the Daily Orange. It's time for DeBundo's digits.
The numbers you need to know. Anthony DeBundo breaks down the biggest stats for this week's Syracuse matchup.
Everybody!
DeBundo's digits.
If you ain't taking stats, kick the f*** out the class.
On the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
I'll just stand a hollers. Where you at? Let's go!
Louisville was supposed to travel to the Carrier Dome for a game against the Cuse on February 3rd. 2 weeks later, they haven't played a game since. They've been in a COVID-19 pause. The Cardinals are one of 2 Quadrant 1 games left on the Syracuse schedule right now, and the Orange's percentage of making the tourney would rise from 21% to 46% with a win in Louisville. Teams playing on 2 weeks of rest following COVID-19 pauses have not fared well this season, both straight up and against the spread. They're covering the spread at a 40% clip entering last weekend. Louisville leads the all-time series with the Orange 19-10 and steamrolled Syracuse at the Yum Center in Louisville last season. Last year, Louisville was one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. It's a main reason why they torched the zone. This year, the Cardinals sit 256th in three-point shooting percentage after ranking top 15 from that range last year. They have one of the most inexperienced rosters in the country, ranking 339th in experience. Their 5 top producers from last year have been replaced by 2 freshmen, 2 sophomores, and senior transfer point guard Carlick Jones. The Cardinals are playing slower this season as they rank bottom 60 in pace. The Orange have to get to the free throw line more against Louisville. Syracuse ranks 10th nationally in free throw percentage and should make a more concerted effort to get to the line. Louisville's mediocre when it comes to defensive foul and free throw rates, so the Cuse could earn some free points by attacking the rim more often. And U of L is ranked 80th nationally in offensive rebounding rate. The Orange's offense shouldn't have many turnover issues, given the Cardinals' low rank in turnovers forced and Syracuse's high rank in avoiding turnovers. Carlick Jones is the primary ball handler on offense for Louisville. He ranks top 60th nationally in minutes played, top 160 in usage rate. He's excellent at getting to the line. While he's not much of a shooter, he's made 31% of his threes on 45 attempts. He is good at getting to the line. He takes 5.28 free throws per game. He is the engine that makes this Cardinals offense go. He spent his first 3 years at Radford before transferring and is the most experienced player on an inexperienced roster. He ranks fourth in the ACC in points per game. Louisville assists on just 46.1% of its made field goals, which is the lowest rate in the conference. They prefer isolation offense and individual play over assists, and while the Orange are the top ACC team in this stat, offensively, defensively, they force you to pass the ball. Jones is a great passer, but the rest of the U of L offense doesn't rely on passing for points. The SU zone tends to force teams to create assists for offense, so how the Cardinals react to the zone could decide who wins an otherwise even matchup.
All right, thanks to Anthony DeBundo, who had to do that twice for us for the Louisville game. Yeah. But
he asked us if he just wanted to run it back, and we said, right. Like, just update the stats. And he was like, all right, fine. So
yeah, he works hard.
Was that us
for
being
us
rude to him? Were we rude to him by doing that?
I don't think so. No, I see what you're going for there, but
he says that Boeheim wasn't rude to him, but I like standing up for him. And
yeah,
I'm more standing
up. Guys,
I'm trying to get him the win over Jake Piazza. All right, I'm not necessarily saying Boeheim was rude. I'm just saying I'm standing up. This is a DeBundo versus Piazza battle here, and I'm on Team DeBundo. I don't know about you, Tim, but I'm pulling for our guy AD.
Of course, I'm Team DeBundo. How could I not be?
It's Syracuse. I'm testing your loyalty right here. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely on Team DeBundo. Thanks to him, as always. Find him on Twitter, at Anthony DeBundo. Read his work over at the Daily Orange. Up next for us is the Prop Shop. We'll get into our hypothetical picks, and our Betting Edge segment of the week, where we pick the game, is up next.
Quick break to tell you about the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. It is betonline.ag. You know, football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Tim and I will have to get into this sometime. We had quite the thrill betting on some awards shows back in the day. And you can too. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. And it's the best way to place your bets. And the best part is, it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Go to BetOnline. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and you will get a 50% welcome bonus when you make your first deposit. Again, betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and you will get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, time for our Betting Edge segment of the week, brought to you by the fine folks at betonline.ag. You can just type that into your web browser. It'll pop right up. We've got a promo code for you, Locked On. That gets you a 50% welcome bonus when you sign up for a free account at betonline.ag. And right now, over at betonline.ag, Louisville is favored, kind of as expected, but they're five-point favorites, which I thought might be a little bit higher than I thought, Ty, off of a pause. Maybe.
Yeah, I thought it would be in the neighborhood of like two or three.
Yeah.
But they are the home team.
I say that, though, and I'm still going to pick Louisville to cover the five. I think we talked about this a lot last time, but it's a good matchup for Louisville, given that they usually rebound the basketball pretty well for not having a ton of size. We don't know how many valuable players will be out for them, but I do know that their three most important players are playing in this game, we can assume, I think. And I think they are off a pause, but they aren't because of the practice time. So I think that's less of a worry. Plus, they're at home in this game, whereas Syracuse was the home team in the last game. So I'm going to lean with the home team. I hope I'm wrong, but I think Louisville is in a game that Syracuse really needs. I think they just have a little bit more down low than Syracuse can handle in this game.
I see this game going one of two ways. Either Syracuse is going to win, or Louisville is just going to blow the doors off of them. I don't think this is a game that Syracuse will cover the five and lose. And quite frankly, I lean more towards the Louisville side of things here. Again, I'm with you. I hope I'm wrong, but I think this could get ugly. And the way that We've seen some teams pick apart the zone, and the fact that defensive-oriented teams have been better off the pause than the teams that rely on the three-point ball. That's why I'm going to roll with Louisville in this game, and I think it could be one of those big, if you can get an alternate line. I know that BetOnline.ag sometimes offers those up for you,
yeah,
too. Look at that. And maybe you take like an inflated line at like 9.5 for Louisville, and then maybe you sprinkle a little bit on the Syracuse money line as well, because there is a world where Syracuse wins this game, absolutely. I laid out the stuff with rebounding. You don't have to be a great rebounding team, but I do think that Louisville, just the better team, better all around, and I think that they're going to be the ones that pull away on this one.
We should just start a campaign where every single one of our listeners just go bet on Louisville -5 at betonline.ag, and Vegas never loses. So then, you know, if everyone bets on it, Syracuse will win the game, and we'll all
yeah,
feel better.
Your life.
I'd sacrifice some money for a win.
Although,
yeah,
here's the thing
game.
Is, yeah, this is a big game, but it's one of those things where you start to put money down, and then your money overrides your feelings at some point. At least that's how it gets for me sometimes. So I've tried the whole hedge your life thing. But I usually end up caring more about the money than
yeah.
I do about the actual my team winning at times. And fine, call me a fake fan. I don't care. I'm richer for it.
Yeah. All right. The over-under at betonline.ag, kind of low, 140.5. I'm going to lean over slightly. I do worry. DeMundo brought up some good stats on how they don't pass the ball that much, and that could be beneficial for Syracuse in this game. But I do think they'll crack 140.5 just because that's a lower one.
I'm going to go with the under, actually, on this one. The Louisville coming off the pause thing, I think, does slightly
yeah.
lean me towards the under on it, especially because they're not a very offensive-minded team. And if I do think Louisville's going to win this game, I think it's going to go on. If Syracuse wins this game, it's going to go over. That's the way I see it happening.
Yeah, me too. I would agree with that. They need to score, and it'll be because their guard stepped up and Louisville looks a little shaky and they're turning the ball over a lot off the pause and stuff like that. All right, our prop shop picks now. Update on the records. I am 51-38 on the year. We both went 2-3
well done.
Last week.
Yeah, it wasn't a great week for us last week, but I mean, you're still over like $1,900 right now, Tim.
Yeah, 1930 overall in the year. And then Ty, you're 39-49, 2-3 last week. Well,
it's
we
not
don't
going
have to share
well.
Your number there. You're going to make it up this week here. And I think overall, it was like a couple bad weeks there for you. And then from there, we've really been pretty much even the rest of the way. And I shouldn't even say weeks, probably just a couple bad games. So much of it is hitting the who will lead Syracuse in scoring bet that we always do. That gets you.
You've been really good at that. Yeah.
Yeah. Get you some good cash. So we'll get to that in a second.
I guess
first one,
I went on the other side, though, because when we do our college basketball podcast where it's all things college basketball. You can check it out on the wherever you get your podcast, Made for March. But
yep.
that one, I hit the upset pick every week.
Right.
Every week.
That's
so that's
huge.
Where I get you back. So
exactly. Yeah, you're beating me in that one. So
yeah.
So it's a give and a take there. Louisville rebounding margin is our first prop bet, +5 over under. I'm gonna take the slight over here. I think this is how Louisville wins the game, and that's a lot of my theory as to why they win, so I'm going to take the over.
I'm going to go with the under here. I still think Louisville wins the rebounding margin, but I'm going to roll with the under just because I don't know who's going to be missing from that Cardinal lineup, and I tend to believe more that it'll be one of the big guys, so that could hurt the rebounding.
All right,
this feels like a game that Alan Griffin could rebound well into.
Yeah, isn't that every game? I mean, the guy's everywhere, it feels like, lately, with the steals and rebounds. He's been playing well. We probably could give him even more credit recently. But Buddy Boeheim, over under 13.5 points. I brought it up earlier. I laid out all the stats, plus David Johnson. It's going to lean me towards a slight under. Maybe they'll lose by 10 or 12 and he'll get past it, but he's averaging about 14 on the year. I'm still going to take the under at 13.5.
Yeah, I'm with you. I see the over happening if it does get out of hand and he does get some garbage time points late in the game. So I'm with you. I'm rolling under.
And then who will lead Syracuse in scoring? Alan Griffin, the favorite, +165. Quincy Guerre, +185. Buddy, +275. JG3, who led last game, +320. Marek, +520. And Kadari, +535. I'm going to go with Quincy. He's kind of due for a good game. I do think if Louisville is down one of those guys, maybe in the middle, like we talked about, that could bode well. And I don't know. I just feel like he hasn't quite had it to like the degree that he did in the early part of the season lately, but he played really well against UNC. He plays good against good teams, and they'll rely on him a lot.
Yeah, he's due for a 20-10, isn't he?
Yeah.
It feels like, and this is a good matchup for him to potentially do that. Not a lot of menacing shot blockers on the other side. I think the Guerrier pick is good there. I'm between Griffin and Guerrier. I'm going to roll with Griffin. I know he's the favorite, but this is a game that I think Griffin might have to try to carry them along in the early going. If he hits one of those first couple shots, he starts feeling it. It could be an Alan Griffin night where he's getting 22 points or something like that. So I'm going to go with Griffin.
All right. Well, that'll do it for our preview podcast round two. We'll be tweeting out the game and giving our thoughts on the Twittersphere at @LO_Syracuse. You can follow us there. But enjoy the game, everyone, and we'll be back to recap it on Thursday. Oh.